If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Well, as you know, we like to cover the news events that are going on at the Metricon Conference every year, sponsored by Lockheed Martin and produced by IEEE. This is the 32nd year that it has been held. It's going to be at the Hearst Convention Center. That's about halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth. And we have with us today a very interesting guy from the Curry College of Computer Sciences at Northeastern University, Seth Cooper. He's assistant professor there, and Seth believes using video games to solve difficult real-world problems. He's developed the citizen science games Foldit and NanoCrafter and some early math educational games. Welcome to the program, Seth.
Great. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
And am I to believe then that your presentation is going to be at Metricon is going to be on using video games to solve difficult real world problems? Is that right?
Yeah, that's my plan for talking about. And particularly, I'll probably be mostly basing things on one of the first games you mentioned, which is Foldit.
Okay, so you're going to give a demonstration of Foldit while you're there, and if that's the case, can you tell us basically what you're going to be presenting?
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit about the game and show, I think, some of how the game is played and some of the results that we've gotten out of it. But the basic idea with Foldit is that it's a video game for biochemistry, an online game essentially where players are able to compete and collaborate to try to essentially, you know, manipulate protein structures and either find or, in some cases, actually design synthetic proteins that fold up into nice compact structures. And so this is actually an interesting problem and an important problem for biochemists because proteins are molecules that underlie so many of the processes for life and some of the processes that take place in the cell. And so it's actually quite difficult for scientists or biochemists to determine the shape of proteins experimentally. And so we made this game, actually. We started working on it about 10 years ago now, actually, sometime around 10 years ago, with sort of the goal of essentially allowing the players of the game to contribute to science by helping scientists kind of understand the shapes of proteins and how proteins fold in three dimensions, because it's difficult to figure out experimentally. But it's all about kind of how the pieces fit together. You can kind of think of it as maybe a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle. And so because of that, we thought that it might make kind of a fun or interesting game for players, and players might be able to help contribute to trying to solve some of these kind of structural problems in a game.
So this is a teaching game for biochemists, and am I to believe then that there's only one answer, or can there be several different ways of winning, I'm going to use the word winning, the game, or how does it work? And what about the input? What about, I'll save that question. Just the first question.
Yeah, so in a way it is kind of a game for teaching. I mean, people have used it for biochemistry education, although our original sort of motivation was for citizen science. So it's intended to be more of kind of a crowdsourcing or citizen science game where we're working with biochemists to kind of take essentially the structural problems that they're working on, you know, a protein that they're interested in, that they're trying to figure out the structure of, or something along those lines, and turn it into a puzzle in the game, and then we actually can post those online, and the people who are playing the game can try and play those puzzles and kind of compete in a way we've set it up as a high score contest to see who can come up with the according to sort of the score that's unfolded, who has the best folded structure, and then those can be analyzed further. And so the actual whether what we're looking for, I guess you could say, to get out of that kind of depends on the exact setup of the puzzle. But in some cases, there is kind of one particular structure that we would be looking for. However, we don't really know what that structure is ourselves, right? We're trying to find the sort of the best particular fold for a particular protein structure, and so we ourselves may not actually know what that is, and so it's kind of up to the players to try to find what that best particular fold is. But again, it sort of depends on the particular problem that's being posed to the players.
Okay, so I'm trying to envision this then. This isn't just a game with a pad answer that people have to navigate through to figure out the pad answer, but what they can do is put in their own parameters, their own formulas, so to speak, and state the problem that they're trying to solve, and then other people, you mentioned crowdsource, I think, other people can get involved with solving this particular problem too by using the techniques that are provided in the game. Am I getting close to what this is?
Yeah, so that's a good description of it. So, you know, we might work with a biochemist who's interested, say, in a particular protein structure, and they may have a little bit of information on it, a little bit of data on some of what the structure is, some information about the structure, but what we're really interested in is the kind of the three-dimensional structure. What is the position of the atoms, you know, that make up this particular protein structure, and that's the thing that, you know, we don't know, and the scientists who we're collaborating with as well, and the more interesting cases don't know as well, and so we can pose that problem to the players and the community. This is a sort of the crowdsourcing part, and by playing the game in this sort of competition, they can try to figure out what the best answer is. And then that, you know, if they find the solution, right? So when one is playing the game, essentially one is manipulating this kind of three-dimensional puzzle of the protein structure, trying to pack different pieces in, trying to get certain parts on the inside of the structure and certain parts on the outside and so on, following kind of a set of rules and a scoring function that tells them how well they're doing. So the interesting thing is we can sort of tell people how well they're doing, but we don't really know what the best answer is, and so people are kind of always trying to find better and better solutions, and they can tell, you know, we can tell and the players can tell if they're making things better or worse, but we can't really tell if anyone has found the absolute best answer at, you know, any given point in time. We don't know if they found the best solution, or if they made, you know, a small change somewhere, they would find something much better, and so that's kind of the challenge to it, is to try to find what the best particular structure is, without knowing what it is, but having a little bit of feedback on how you're doing.
That is so fascinating, to be able to take something, put it in the form of a game, allow for crowdsourcing and solving problems through a game. I can imagine that's pretty fascinating. And you're going to be demonstrating that at the conference. It's called Fold It. If listeners have just tuned in, and you've also you've done NanoCrafter too, which is, I've got to ask you about it, because this program was founded originally on the science of nanotechnology, and that's what we've been covering for the past 10 or 15 years, back starting with Rick Smalley and his team, who discovered the Buckminster fullerene. So give us a brief overview of NanoCrafter, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. NanoCrafter was somewhat related to Fold It, inspired by Fold It, but it was more about DNA nanotechnology rather than proteins, and so it was all built around this concept of DNA strand displacement and a particular kind of reaction that could be used to make kind of nano devices and nano machines and that kind of thing out of DNA, sort of a model of this process. And so we, similar with Fold It, we built a game around it where players could try to build little DNA devices and things like that in the game, and then we could, in theory, you know, if things like that worked in the game, then, you know, they might actually work in the real world. And so in a similar way, we kind of ran these kind of puzzles and challenges to see if players would be able to come up with sort of interesting devices or structures or that kind of thing. And so it was kind of all built around this concept of self-assembling devices built out of short strands of DNA. Actually, in both games, in Folded and NanoCrafter, so Folded is actually still available to play online, and the website is fold.it, if anyone would like to check it out. They both are, even though they're both sort of built around biochemistry, they don't necessarily, or we tried to build them so that they don't necessarily require kind of a background in biochemistry or familiarity with the kind of underlying biochemistry concepts. And they both had these sort of introductory levels that would take players, ideally, from not knowing anything about say, proteins or DNA or that kind of thing, up to the point where they might be able to compete online. And so, for example, in Folded, there's a sequence of tutorial levels that starts out with relatively small proteins with, in fact, they're not even real protein structures, they're sort of examples, right, showing small structures with smaller things kind of wrong with them and explaining how to fix them and getting more and more complicated as the players progress and ideally learn how to play the game to the point where they can compete online with other players.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I guess this is a game that anybody could play if they want to do it. And you said it's fold.it. What, .com? Is that where you find it online?
There's no .com. It's just fold.it is the domain name. And so it's available online. It's free to download and play. And it's ideally, you know, set up so that new players can come in and start playing without necessarily a background in biochemistry. And I think we've seen that a lot of the good players, you know, people come in and they don't have a background in biochemistry, and they're able to become, you know, good players of the game and contribute and participate in the science. And so that's kind of the citizen science aspect of things, is that it's an interesting way for people who don't necessarily have, say, a formal background in some particular area of science but are interested in it to actually be able to contribute to some of the scientific research that's going on.
Well, Seth, I can see this as a great teaching tool, but it's also a great analytical tool, and I suppose in the future this sort of application could be used for any number of different areas in solving different projects and that sort of thing. Do you see a future like that?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen in the past several years a variety of other games come out. I mean, in addition to just citizen science in general, I think, is growing. But in particular, kind of games that help people contribute to science and let them get involved. We're seeing some examples of those come up around. And so there's other ones. So, for example, there's iWire that lets players contribute to neuroscience and kind of mapping out neurons. There's another game called Eterna that's all about RNA folding and sort of having players design little two-dimensional kind of RNA structures. A number of them are kind of in biochemistry. Biochemistry actually seems like, or biology seems like, a relatively popular kind of scientific area for these types of games.
Yeah.
But there are other areas. There's a game called Quantum Moves that actually lets people contribute to some understanding of quantum physics and so on. And so we've seen, a couple of these games coming up in different areas, and I think, you know, that's something that we may see more of in the future. Well, I guess from sort of my personal experience, I guess, I've always been interested in games and video games in particular, and so I think it's been a lot of fun to be able to get to work on games and also kind of be able to build games that are allow the players to kind of contribute, I think, something to science and maybe the advancement of knowledge. And so I think for me, you know, being able to work on something that I've sort of enjoyed is a really good experience. And so I mean, that's something that I think, you know, if one has the opportunity to do, it's a good opportunity.
Okay, Seth Cooper, Assistant Professor at the Corey College of Computer Sciences at Northeastern University. He's the guy that believes in education and solving problems through video games. He loves what he does, and he's going to tell us all about it at MetroCon. That's going to be the 6th of November at the Hearst Convention Center. That's right between Dallas and Fort Worth. We'll look forward to having you there. And Seth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. Thanks for having me again.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz.